I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Wednesday, wrapping up the week. Find us everywhere you find podcasts. The official weapon of the show is...
phone chair.
And an unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. That's right. That's right. Listen, do you have any banter?
Mm-mm.
I don't really have any either that I could think of. So I guess we can kind of get right into the show. You know, I'll play some music here so I can remember to put an ad here so we can get paid.
Okay.
Psycho. Psycho. Music.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
All right. All right. Let's talk about the news. All kinds of stuff is happening still.
Okay.
In day, what are we, day like 10 of Monique Gate?
I have no idea.
I forget the day she went on Club Shay Shay, but the fallout has continued. I've been keeping up with it. You got, of course, the comedians versus Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. I saw that Mike Epps and Shannon Sharp are supposed to meet and discuss things, hopefully peacefully, during All-Star Weekend because they both going to be in Indiana. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
Don't want nobody have to get shot over a dumbass beef. I mean, it's... The stuff with Mike Epps and Corey Holcomb, I really think is just trying to capitalize on some of these hits and these views that Shannon's getting.
Because other than that, it doesn't make sense.
Because Shannon's show has elevated after that Cat Williams interview. Mm-hmm. Like, he's pulling guests. He's telling people no he used to say yes to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, those guys used to, like, before Cat Williams, I feel like those dudes could have sat across from the couch because so many, Ricky Smiley sat across from that couch. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, I got to capitalize on the pandemonium. And so I feel like a lot of these dudes are even saying this shit to get Shannon's attention, to find a way to be a part of that show. And Corey Holcomb put out a new video today. It's like at least the clip I saw was 4 minutes long. Still making jokes about Shannon Sharp being gay, but then like kind of relenting at the end because someone informed him, like, Shannon Sharp said all that stuff was lies and that he's not gay. And then he's like, oh, okay, then. So he say he's not gay then. I'm going to stop messing with you. Okay, Shannon, and all that stuff. But once again, I think, you know, he brought up how many views he's getting. He brought up
that shit, the idea matters to be people on that. Yeah. It matters.
So that's one part of the fallout that I'm keeping track of, because I think though playing around with comedians in that arena is just, you're not gonna be able to like threaten to beat them up and then the shit stop.
Right.
These niggas probably been getting beat up their whole lives. That's why they so funny. You know what I mean? I say that as a funny person.
Yeah, like, they fight with jokes.
I fought a lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Fought because of these jokes and came up with these jokes to stop a fight before. But I got in a lot of fights as a kid because I'm going to always try to embarrass you if you're going to keep fucking with me, you know? I think that's an interesting part. Then Monique and her son, we talked about that 37-minute video Monique and them put out. Well, Sydney put out featuring Monique.
Basically.
We talked about that yesterday. Well, her son made another like 10-minute video. I watched it. And this time I think he was angrier, but I see why he writes down everything he wants to say before he starts talking.
Get your thoughts together.
Because he doesn't get off topic and he doesn't get too mad that he is like either name calling or whatever. But
keep you focused.
Yeah, he was clearly irritated by the fact that Sydney was trying to act like it was some mental health shit and her son is just crazy and he's just lashing out because he's, you know, he's like, he's an insane person. What can we do? And then the evidence, quote unquote, that they presented and continue to try to present to shut the son down is very interesting because it's so subjective at this point. But the evidence is like what we were texting in 2021. And the texts are, I mean, not no offense, but when I read them, they were just like cordial. It didn't seem like they were extremely tight knit or anything. It wasn't just him asking for her for a bunch of money and shit, which I know they tried to like throw that in his face, like, oh, you won't. This is all about money, but he himself is saying like, I don't want any. It's not a money thing for me. We're not actually close, and you're not working on the relationship.
So why are you pretending? Just don't bring it up. Yeah,
you can stop bringing it up because mm-hmm. there's no point in bringing it up,
right?
And people ask me about it, and it's not true, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be lying to make it seem like, yeah, we're working it out. We're not.
Right.
And so he brought up that you know, like the gaslighting. He addressed the stuff with the money where he's like, y'all have given me money. I've never asked for the money. I don't like I'm not begging y'all for money. These are things y'all did for me. They paid for a down payment on a car. He said he didn't ask for that. They wanted to do that for him.
Yep.
And he said, and this is another example of like rich people doing something for somebody that didn't ask and then acting like you ungrateful.
Yes.
For something you didn't ask for.
Yes, I've dealt with people like that, and that is fucking frustrating, particularly mm-hmm. when it's something you didn't ask for and or need. You didn't beg or anything. They won't do and the thing is, when they did it, they were not doing it out of the kindness of their heart. They were doing it with stipulations attached to it, but they didn't tell you that the stipulations attached to it was, you're going to have to kiss my ass.
Right, or this should sweep over all the trouble and turmoil we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Any misgivings you have about me, well, you shouldn't have took that money, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing is, if it's supposed to be some type of proof that he's lying, that they took these screenshots of these text messages, the date on all of them, except for this long ass text message from Sydney, the date on all of them is 2021. And when he started that first video, he said they hadn't talked in like 3 years. So I think they're trying to prove he's like some type of liar, but that would be pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked since 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're trying to win a court case in the public opinion and catch him up on like trip him up on details. And honestly, the further it goes, the more it just bothers me as far as like, well, what other shit do y'all frame in a way that's manipulative and half the truth, but you're relying on people to be classy and silent. And so in this case, your son isn't doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, all her fans want him to be silent. And
right. He's going against the program.
Yeah, unlike Monique, who they encouraged to air her grievances at every fucking angle. When it's her son, everybody like, shut the fuck up, man. Well, you a grown man. You can't get over it. She's 50-something. She hadn't got over the shit with
right.
her family. She
right.
hadn't got over the shit with the celebrities that she feels did her wrong, but he's
right.
34. He's supposed to be a grown man who's gotten over this, and you know, people are assuming he didn't go to therapy. People are assuming just a bunch of stuff,
and they do not know, you right. know. And you know, for somebody who has dealt with people with these type of people, it is something else. They gaslight you. They manipulate people around you. They frame things in a way where it always makes them look good because they are the hero of their own story and everybody else has to be the enemy to people like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to frame it like there's no way they could do something wrong. It's everything that's said, done, and or exchanged is your fault.
And that's the thing. When you try to air everything out in public, you are actually very much relying on your image to be the hero and the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's fighting so hard. Because I really think, and I say she, I really mean them. Because I think Sydney is the one that puts a lot of this shit, makes this shit look like this. I don't think it's a coincidence that when they're supposed to be talking about her son, he does most of the talking, and then he flips it to Oprah, Stephen A. Smith, Tyler Perry, and what's our girl? It's a booty hole.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, he switches it to Tiffany Haddish because I think those are the things that he cares about. Those are the grievances that he has. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they might be her peers. They might be people in the industry that gatekeepers that can work with her, that can help her. But I really feel like he isolated her from the business. Like, he isolated her from anybody but his opinion and stuff. And so watching this shit unfold, it's sad because, you know, it feels like he's handling her and then also publicly handling this in a horrible way that only, to me anyway, made me go, well, this doesn't make me root for you. I don't know what you want, but I'm not, like, for all the you got to be accountable and all that stuff, y'all are saying no fault, no flaws, no nothing over here. This boy is just crazy and he's bitter and angry and, If you disagree with us, you hate black women because anything against Monique is against all black women. You know, that's the way shit is getting framed. And I was talking to another friend that works in the industry, and she pointed out something that was so fucking smart. And she's already, like, brilliant or whatever, but she pointed out something that was so fucking smart. And I think it's just, as I said when I watched the Shannon Sharp thing, I was like, I get charmed by Monique. She started talking. I want her to feel better. She's so charismatic. She's so funny.
And that's what they're working on.
And as she's talking, I'm like, yeah, why can't everybody just do what she want them to do, you know? But then she pointed out a couple things, because I already said the Oprah Tyler Perry thing. I can see both sides on that. I know people hate Oprah and Tyler Perry. She relies on y'all to just be like, well, I hate them, so everything they do is wrong.
Right, and I don't. So.
But also, when I heard it, I was like, I can see how that's not wrong. Like, I can see how they were like, no, you fucked me. I didn't fuck you. How you mad at me? And when people ask me about you, I'm going to tell them you fucked me. Like, we thought we had a fucking deal like everyone has. And you the one person that didn't do what everyone does. And I'm the one that's crazy. And you're telling the world, like, I'm crazy. And you don't negotiate these things in your business terms.
Right.
You know, so we didn't even know to expect it. And multiple times you've had these business things pop up and it be like, who told you that? And it's Sydney, you know. But she brought up such a good point with Kevin Hart. And once again, people don't like Kevin Hart. They want to believe he's a coon and a sellout and hates black people. I get it. Right. But I'm not one of those people, but
me either.
I just know that's what people believe, so it's hard to say anything else. And I know other people who were basically fooled by this too. I've talked to them, my friends. But as she pointed out, they went to the studio before Kevin Hart. So Kevin Hart says, I want to work with you. We're going to work together. I'm going to produce a project. We're going to try to get, you know, y'all go to the studio and tell the studio, Kevin Hart said he's going to produce something, anything we want. We want her talk show back. She said it. This is not a secret. This was in the interview. Oh, you didn't watch the interview. I'm sorry. But it went right over my head because the way she was saying it, I was like, yeah, why didn't they do it? But then no one does that.
Right.
You have to have the person that's executive producing. If they're not going there for you, if they're not in the room, you can't just go, this person wrote us a blank check to do whatever we want, because it don't matter if you're Kevin Hart or not. The studios they're not going to do it, and they're going to check with his representation.
Yes, they are. They're going to contact him.
And I can see how his representation or him got scared, because they was like, why did they go do that?
Right.
That, like,
that's, you didn't even give me time to actually handle everything that I needed to do.
That's a meeting.
Yes, that is.
That's a thing we all go to a place together and pitch at a table. That's not a you just call them and say do it situation. And especially when you're already kind of considered persona non grata. So I didn't even think about it, because one of the things that's just that's really distracting during this whole discussion about it, a lot of people are comparing entertainment jobs to regular jobs.
They're not.
Whereas, like, so in a regular job, we know it's exploitative if you don't get paid for overtime. Totally understand. In a movie job, you may have to do some promo that is considered part of why they gave you the money in the first place, or whatever. In an independent film, you probably get paid less than you would in a studio, you know, in a bigger project. So there's like little stuff people don't know. So if I were to tell them certain things, I could make people feel more sympathetic towards me, because they're like, damn, that's fucked up. And as opposed to, oh, you're in a different industry, you know. And it doesn't mean people don't get fucked, but it just means I can tell you, because you don't know the knowledge, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's fucked up. And then for example, me writing for Game Theory, one of the things that benefited me was whenever I got to go on the scene live and pitch jokes, watch them record sketches, watch them execute the ideas and some of the things I wrote, and I was able to learn. I learned what people did on the set. I questioned everybody, right? Now, technically, I don't get paid no extra money for that.
Mm-mm.
That's just included in my writer. And that's not being a quote-unquote writer for sure, per se. I'm not writing anything on a piece of paper. But if I came on Twitter without y'all understanding how my check worked and how the industry works and just said, man, they had me out there. It was cold as hell. It was 10 o'clock at night. I'm over there. They got me. They asking me, Rod, give me a joke real quick. Give me a joke. Man, it's 10 o'clock at night, man. I clocked out at 5. Man. Why? People would be like, that's fucked up. Look at how they do the talent in that industry, man. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have to go through that. And then, of course, I'm not going to say any benefits. Like, yo, if I ever want to be a director, a producer, work with somebody in a live sketch show, I just learned 20 different things on how to do that I could not have learned in my apartment, having written this and went home at 5, right?
Right.
It's that sort of thing that, once again, some people won't have the knowledge of the industry and they'll be like, yeah, he's right. Fuck Game Theory, fuck HBO, fuck everybody. And of course, people inside the industry will be like, why is Rod doing that?
Right. That's not the industry standard. And it's not the same, but it's kind of the same. It's just like every year, an article comes out every single fucking year about how the artists don't get paid for the Super Bowl. This is a standard. This is something that I guess they negotiate with everybody and stuff like that. But everybody acts like, why they going there for free? Particularly if it's somebody, an artist they love. But it's like, bitch, no one gets paid. Why? What are you talking about? And why are you complaining?
Once again, I understand their point. Like I understand everybody's point. I should get paid more for more work, period. But people are basically using the idea that you don't know, so I can hit you with a real simple, like, you know, Usher didn't get no money for the Super Bowl. And then you just go, oh, man, that's fucked up, man. What's wrong with the NFL? What's wrong with the Super Bowl? As opposed to when they got, you know, like someone said, they were talking about the business behind the scenes of, like, where he's doing his residency and some shit with the NFL and some money there. And I don't even understand that shit, because I'm not that deep in the money game to know that maybe money would exchange hands that just wasn't in public or whatever. But I don't know enough. I know enough to know I don't know everything.
Right.
And I highly doubt these motherfucking artists do this shit for no reason.
Right.
And just it doesn't benefit anybody and all this shit. So I know that there's...
Why do you think they always drop an album or a tour and shit? Because they know this is one of the biggest stages in the world, and they're going to get their money back tenfold.
There's just games played within the game. Right. I don't know how much money they get back and what percentage. I just know that if it looks like there must be something else up, there's probably something else up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my friend pointed that out, and I said, you're fucking brilliant. That slipped right by me. I really was like, yeah, why would Kevin Hart do it like that? But he wrote you a check, said, we will work together with this studio. You know, we're going to set something up. He didn't say call them.
All out of order. Because the
and that's a, and that, to me, that's how Sydney seemed to do business.
Right. And then get mad when everybody else is like, nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you? This is not the way you do things.
So anyway, that's just my theory. I don't know these people. I don't know everything that happened. Maybe she'll put a recording out and Kevin Hart is literally on the recording being like, go to them. Don't even tell them what you want. Just tell them I sent you. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it. I'd highly doubt it, but maybe that's out there.
Right. I highly doubt that too, because the way Kevin Hart functions, he's very business minded. And I listened to the podcast, I think a few years ago, I think it may have been right before COVID or during COVID. Monica came on the show and they actually talked.
Yeah, they talked. She talked about that on the on Shay Shay.
Right. They actually talked, and, you know, and I'm assuming that happened after this.
Yeah, it did. And mm-hmm. and she, because he tried to help her reconcile with Tyler Perry. Tyler wasn't yes. interested. He told her, you know, like, you my sister, you this, that, and the other, and he loved her and all this stuff. Gave her money, which he never told anybody that I know of. Gave her money on the low to help float her. She paid it back with interest because she don't want to owe him, according to her. And then he said, well, Tyler doesn't want to work with you. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to apologize, but I still want to work with you. We're going to work on a project together. We're going to do this, that, and the other. And then they just seemed to have, at least if from the way she told the story, it seemed like she just went to the studio without Kevin Hart. Like, he said, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and I could see that being burning the bridge.
Right, which, of course, his people, I'm sure, because she was radioactive at the time, I'm sure his people were like, stay the fuck away from her.
Then. Yep.
Like, because I think, and I don't, like I said, when I say her, I really mean the way Sydney does business.
Yep, and that means
because I don't think she's anything less than professional that I've heard.
Right.
You know, maybe some people got some whispers.
You don't hear people talking about on her own set or anything, yeah. Right?
So, I don't know, man. It was just a lot that my friend made me think of, and we was just talking about it. And there's other shit I won't say just because I don't want to come off as mean or whatever, but I stand by what I said last week, which is I still have a lot of empathy for her. I think she went through some traumatic shit mm-hmm. when she was young. And I think maybe this dude, Sydney, makes her feel protected, even if I think it's overprotection and controlling and bridge burning and isolation. But you can't make somebody see that, and you can't want that for somebody.
Mm-mm.
And I'm on the outside looking in, so maybe it's not even really like that, and I don't understand. You know, maybe it's just not for me to understand. They keep putting their business in public and then not wanting anyone's opinions or wanting everybody to support it. That's very unrealistic.
Yes, that is.
Because y'all are talking about motherfuckers, too, whether it be on stage or be when y'all do y'all stuff, like, this radical transparency shit is just not really the business, because at the end of the day, everybody got parts of stuff they don't want out there.
Right.
Everybody doesn't look good in every moment. And mm-hmm. when you start trying to make your image that, you end up looking like you're gaslighting your son and letting this nigga put you up to it. That's what it ends up looking like.
And I remember when we was talking, and I couldn't articulate at the time on Balls Deep, and you were talking about, you know, wanting to hear Tyler and Oprah address mm-hmm. it. One of the main reasons why, and it's not that I'm quote unquote against it, it's like for somebody like me, I completely understand. I see your actions. I see what you do. I see you don't keep, not you don't keep secrets. I see you tell everything. Nothing's private with you. You won't shut the fuck up. No, I'm not working with you.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not demanding it. But if you ask me if I was invited to Oprah's house, I would love if she said, you know what, Rod, you want to know what really happened with Monique? I'd be all fucking ears, because I do want to know. Because I do think that, at least in my estimation, I can see how they feel like she did them wrong.
Correct.
And nobody wants to pay they pay dust to that because they're like, these rich motherfuckers, but man, they all rich. Even when Monique was talking about being underpaid, it was more than I'm gonna ever make in my life. So, like, all these niggas rich, period. These are rich people problems that they're having. They
Agreed.
Won't make my movie. They won't bring my show back. You know, like, these are rich people problems masquerading as black empowerment, because I think it feels to me anyway like the way Sydney frames shit is anything that helps Monique helps all black women. Anything people say negative about Monique is negative about all black women, and none of it's specific to Monique. So if you say, like, yeah, I think she's kind of manipulative with this shit, it's like, oh, so black women are manipulative? Not okay. Well, she seems kind of angry and kind of bitter about everything that happened. Oh, so all black women are bitter and angry? These are not things I said. I don't, you know, hey, I don't know that she was going to ever make as much money as Amy Schumer. Oh, so black women shouldn't get paid? I didn't say either of those things. You know, like, but that's kind of the rhetorical method that is used to, like, mm-hmm. shut down criticism. And then, of course, anytime something good happens, it's this is good for all black women because it's good for me.
And also, a lot of these, if you pay attention, a lot of people have used a lot of the techniques that people use online, particularly Twitter, and bought it into real life.
I really think that's why she's so loved by a big section of Twitter, is because she's a grievance avatar. And a lot of these motherfuckers walk around being like, I should never give anything, but I am owed everything. And I'm not saying she, I mean, there were receipts that came out after Cat Williams said, you know, his stuff. And a lot of people came out within the community like, this is how he helped me specifically. So many people. And it may or may not have had anything to do with what he was talking about on that couch. But when it came to people being like, yo, he has blessed me. Where is everybody for the, like, since you do it for us, you love us, it's all about us. It's all about uplifting everybody, all the black people. Where are all those people that had their, you know, like, yo, she hooked me up. She did this. She looked out for me. It's, you're not really seeing a lot of that. And I think it's because, at least this is all speculation, but it seemed like she's so fucking isolated from everybody because that's how that dude wants it. It's listen to me and only me. Nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. Not even your kids. Just me. I'll take care of everything, you know? And I don't know. It's telling. And it's all speculation, it's all projection on my part. No need to write up and disagree. If you disagree, that's fine. It's informed by what your life is going through. But the longer it drags on, the more I just feel like this is a toxic situation from hurt people that's been hurting people that got hurt by hurt people.
Yes.
And it's never going to stop. And we'll be 20 years from now, and it'll be the same fuck Oprah, fuck Tyler Perry. They're the reason I'm not as big as I am. And he'll be sitting right there over her shoulder, you know, basically saying everything that she's allowed to say or whatever the fuck. It's actually really fucking sad to me.
Yes, it is.
You know, like, because I don't know how it was before, but I feel like these fucking bridges getting burned right now. He holding the gasoline and the goddamn matches with these shits. But yeah, he had sent like a long text message, but they cropped out the date. This the only one that got the date
on
it, which is weird because I would like to know when this happened. Radical transparency, blah blah blah,
on purpose,
except for this screenshot. You know what I mean? And it's all Sydney saying, "Remember today, and this is Uncle Sid. If you don't change your immature ways, you're going to lose my man." We can't be mad at you, but we're definitely sad for you. How do you go from putting your mother on hold when generations of family are able to see Sinai on the cold side, but you gave no instructions to Tuffy or your mother as to when they would or could be able to see Sinai? That's the grandbaby. Until after Tuffy brought this fact to your attention. And I think that baby, like he said in his video, this is weird they put this text message out after he put out the video, because he says, I don't know when they put it out, but he says, my child was born. I didn't know when y'all were going to see the baby. It was 2 days. I was becoming a new parent. I had a lot of shit going on.
Right, in my life.
You know that we not tight. Like, we're estranged. It's not like you can go look at those text messages. They weren't just talking all the fucking time every day, right?
Right.
And so using that as like a weapon against me, like, how dare you? It's like, that wasn't even a move I was trying to make. But anyway, interestingly, you're a man now, but you were a little boy just days ago when you needed me to walk you through, get in the car. Once again, he said, I never asked y'all for money for this down payment. Y'all offered to do it. Basically, when I accepted your help, you acting like I needed your help, and now I'm a little boy. The financial angle was to keep me in control, basically. Like, it was never really altruism. If you just gonna use it against me, then don't do the shit.
That's my point. Like, don't do it.
Then don't do it. If that's how the fuck you are, don't do it, man. I have friends, like, I can't help everybody. I'm not rich. I have friends where I give people shit sometimes. They ask to borrow something, and I'll straight up tell them, friends and family, if I have it to give, don't worry about paying it back. I'm literally giving this to you. I would only ever give you the money that would not hurt me if you could not pay it back.
Right.
Because I would never want that shit to come between us.
Right.
So if I, you know, if I give you something, it's I'm giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And it'll never come up. I mean,
same.
You could, we could argue the next day and I won't be like, nigga, remember that Xbox? It'll never come up.
Right.
It's anything more than maybe a joke or something. I would never do that because it's such a violation mm-hmm. to do that to somebody you love. Then don't give it.
Right.
I'd rather not have than you give and be like, gotcha. But anyway. He says, the items for the baby you wouldn't even have if your mother, Tuffy, and I didn't care enough to do that for you and Sinai. You needed to be rescued from your apartment weeks ago by Tuffy, but you cussed her out days ago. What's wrong? And then they cut off the rest of the message. But no time stamp on that one. It just feels manipulative. I feel like I'm being manipulated, and I know I am because that's the point of that type of social media interaction where you're fighting somebody. You putting out what's convenient to your side.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid is very inconvenient. Grown man, this grown ass 34-year-old man is very inconvenient to the image of it's us against the world and we're the good guys and everyone else who's ever had any conflict with us. They were all wrong. We 100% were right. And they're bad black people and we're good black people. You can't really do that to your fucking son.
Right.
You just can't. And especially when there's... If you go look at her interviews and stuff, there's speech after speech of her talking about being a bad mom, not really being interested in being immature. And this and daddy came into her life, even though she was like 30 or 40 when he came into her life, and he raised her and made her be mature, and then she became a good parent. Well, you can't say that and then be like, but the kid before that don't count. His feelings don't count. He should just get the fuck over it. So it's just, anyway, it's ugly. It's going to keep going. But yeah, it just, it's mostly a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Let's see what else we got here for news. Oh man, I love this. For years on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
we have talked about, the squad.
Yes.
We've talked about, AOC. And I know Karen got really annoyed with AOC. A lot of the audience got really annoyed with AOC. And I understand. I was annoyed with her too. But I never wrote her off. I never really wrote the squad off. Because what a lot of people don't understand is you need that. You need somebody who can articulate to the youth. You need somebody that can articulate to that angry person that's progressive but feels like Democrats aren't progressive enough. It doesn't mean you let them hijack your party the way the Tea Party did and the way Trump did, the Republicans, but you need them in the big tent. The Democrats are a big tent of malcontents. It is a lot of people with one foot in the tent and one foot upset. That is how it is. If you're black, you're one of them too. You're gonna vote, but there's part of you that's like always a little bit mad, like motherfucker, y'all ain't do this right. Well, why y'all didn't pass that? Or when? How you gonna let this happen? Like it's part of the process of being a Democrat, in my opinion. If you're gay, yay some days and some days boo. You know, I'm not saying you leave the tent. I'm not saying, but it's not a cheerleading situation.
Right.
We're not. Everyone's mm-hmm. self-interested, and everyone hopefully, if they're empathetic enough, should be interested in the greater good for a lot of people. And this is the only party that's trying to do that in America. Like it or love it. That's your choices.
Right.
So, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, and the thing about the squad and AOC and all them, over time, I learned to soften up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not as hard and harsh as I used to be. Because they were doing their job, which is irritate the party. Like they were doing like what they
and
what
a lot
they
of that softening up
do.
Is because of me. Because I was on here being like, we need to accept them as part of the process. Because what you don't want is them leaving. What you don't want is them trying to tell young people to give up. What you don't want is them to not be heard. Because even the stuff they were critical on. Push Biden to the left on stuff, and he ended up listening to a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
and Green New Deal shit, you know, like it mattered a lot. And so I always saw that vision, and I'm about to pat myself on the back, so I can't allow you to like hop on to the patent. It's just me. No, no. I believe first.
Yes, I didn't say you didn't believe.
Oh, I know.
I admit it. I was very hard.
I'm trying to be smug right now. So I'm about to get into my smug bag.
Okay, go ahead then.
My smug mug. It's in our shop. Go to T Public. I should have got the smug mug so I could wear it right now because I'm gonna be so smug. But I always didn't give up on them. And then today I saw this clip where she was on CNN, AOC, and man, listen.
Do you have any concerns about his age? Do you have any concerns about whether or not he should be the nominee?
I mean, I think right now when it comes to the president's age, folks are talking about how he's 81, but we have to look at, first of all, Donald Trump is around the same age as
77,
president.
Yeah.
He's 77 years old. They could have gone to high school together. And beyond that, Donald Trump has 91 indictments. And what I know who I'm going to choose. It's going to be one of the most successful presidents in modern American history that passed the Inflation Reduction Act, that got us the American Rescue Plan, that ensured that we could pass one of the largest federal investments in climate change in U.S. history. And as far as we go, as we know, virtually all the filing deadlines have passed. There's already been a primary. Voters have outright rejected Dean Phillips. President Biden is going to be the Democratic nominee, and hopefully he'll be reelected as president of the United States.
Are you worried about at all? Do you?
And that's why the fuck I said, chill the fuck out. Let her get to know the ropes, because that's where the fuck she's going to end up. Like, you either, unless you're just one of these anarchists, burn it all down, I don't give a fuck, which I never got that vibe from her. I think she piled around and courted those people, and then those people burned the shit out of her, turned on her.
And I think that's when she changed.
Yeah, like that dirtbag left shit.
And insurrection, too.
It got quiet for AOC. That was before, and then that was before January 6th when they ran in there. And as much as she was talking shit about Nancy Pelosi, establishment Democrats, guess who the fuck they came to kill? Her. AOC, AOC and Nancy Pelosi. Girl, you might think y'all different. Y'all the goddamn same. And if your ass stay in there long enough, if you're good enough to keep getting reelected and amassing power and becoming a better voice in America, they gonna hate you the way they hate Nancy anyway. You gonna be the next Nancy Pelosi in every single way, meaning that you can be a fierce fighter as you get older and you continue to fight because you don't want to just drop everything and go back home. You actually want to contribute. Your ass will, these motherfuckers that support you will turn, because Nancy was once the firebrand. Nancy was once the change. Nancy was once the progressive spirit that we needed. But the second that she got power, the second that she became the most successful House Speaker of all time,
my nigga,
they, all of a sudden y'all took shit for granted, and it feels so good to be so right.
Yep, Ron's right. Ron's right. Ron's right. Yep, Ron's right. Ron's right. Whoop, what was that again? Oh, yeah. Rod was right. Rod was right.
And also, Nancy understood you more than you thought she did. And it was also one of those things, when shit happened, guess who was in your corner? Nancy. Guess who made sure y'all had security and took care of y'all? Nancy. Because she was like, oh, I see the bigger picture. And regardless of what you say or what you do, the picture is bigger and y'all are the future. So we got to do this together, regardless if you want to or not.
Nancy also did that shit with a lot of Democrats were against it.
Mm-hmm.
When she like kind of brought them in, appointed them to certain panels and all that. I remember people being mad that she did that. I said, no, that's the right thing to do. They don't know the ropes. Right now, you know who's telling them what to think and say? Twitter. They're Twitter followers. They're governing for Twitter, which is the most fickle shit you can do.
Right.
Because Twitter will turn on you in a fucking heartbeat.
And the people online are not your constituents.
They're not even voting for you if they vote at all. And you're kicking it with them. And I think that ultimately, that once they took the responsibility of having to govern, and now they're under the slings and arrows, and now they're not shiny and new. They got track records. Now they got little shit that they got little shit on them now. You know, you got people being accused of anti-Semitism all of a sudden. Now you're not clean and shiny anymore. Motherfuckers coming for you. You got people saying, hey, you got your boyfriend on the goddamn payroll as your security. This looks dirty to us. You know, what are you really doing? So now you dealing with some of the unfair criticism that these other motherfuckers had that you used to, like, use to your advantage. Like, we need to get them out of there. They're not pure. No one stays pure. And I don't mean because you did some dirty shit. Mm-mm. I mean the game is making up dirt. It don't matter. No one gets to stay pure or clean.
No, they don't.
And now you know. And so, I thought that clip was... To me, it was rewarding to see because I absolutely was like, this is what's going to happen with them. And so, yeah, seeing her up there be like, it's Joe Biden, and I don't even know how the fuck y'all trying to act like it's another choice. So let's go. Beyonce's new album might feature a Taylor Swift collab.
Who said that?
Rob was right.
I mean, look, we'll see. But if this shit turns out.
So I want to do a goddamn video and everything. Let's go.
We need to heal the world. And this is the only thing that can do it. Beyonce country album. It's the only thing that can bring America together. Okay. We haven't been together since before the Civil War, okay? This might be the first time in American history that we can come together. If somehow Beyonce makes this country album and motherfucking Taylor Swift hop on a couple tracks or a track, and especially if it's slamming. And by slamming, I don't necessarily mean that the black people are going to love it. I hope they do. But by slamming, what I really mean is that it's just undeniable country goodness that America has to love, you know, even begrudgingly so, you know. So I hope that happens. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir.
There's a new dating app called Score, and it's for people with good to excellent credit. It's launched by the financial platform Neon Money Club. Score is a dating app for people with good to excellent credit, and it seeks to help raise awareness about the importance of finances and relationships. We need to take the conversation to areas where finance isn't traditionally discussed. Luke Bailey, co-founder and CEO of Neon Money Club, told TechCrunch, adding that traditional methods of raising financial awareness are outdated. Before you can educate people, you need to get their attention. With Score, we're bringing a conversation to dating.
Child, your credit score ain't got shit to do with you and your personality and getting along with people and all and personal skills and all that stuff.
Yeah, the app was conceived at last year's AfroTech. Oh, didn't see that coming. I'm gonna teach financial literacy to the blacks. Neon Money Club was already looking for a way to address credit health, and it threw a party that saw hundreds of people flood the streets of downtown Austin. As people lined up, Bailey and his team started to ponder what they could ask these partygoers that would make them feel comfortable about talking about their finances. They asked, what should the minimum credit score be for someone you're dating? And that question later became Score. So I guess you go onto the app and put in what credit score you want to be with. They said, so on signing up, they do a soft credit check on users that will not impact their credit reports. First, I gotta give you that much information. That's interesting.
Right.
That, I'm sure that won't get hacked or fall into the wrong hands.
Correct.
The score will not be displayed on the app. If approved, users will have access to financially like-minded people on the app. People are also not matched based on their credit tiers. So someone with a score of 700 could match someone with a score of 800. How is there like a credit floor? Like what? How is this app any different other than you got my credit information?
Correct.
Because if you're not telling me, like, I can't put in there, like, hey, I don't want to match with nobody below 700. Then you're like, it won't be based on credit that we match you. So then what the fuck do it matter? The exclusionary aspect of the app is no doubt going to rub some people the wrong way, especially when you consider the average U.S. citizen's credit score is 716, with black and Hispanic people more likely than other racial groups to have a score below 640. When asked about how people could perceive the app as perpetrating a class divide, Bailey said that having good credit is more aspirational than it's classist. He also pointed out that it's completely possible to have high income with low credit. to score will be sent to resources to improve their financial literacy.
That's the fucking catch. That's the catch. I'm about to say there had to be something to it.
Yeah, maybe that's really what it's all about. Is it's an app to capture your personal data.
Yes.
And then they get paid by these companies that they forward you to, mm-hmm, to fix your credit.
Yes, and get your own payment plans and shit. Yes.
Those denied access to score will be sent to resources to improve their financial literacy, and to Credit Builder Grow Credit to help them boost their credit scores. Afterwards, those people are sent back to us to qualify for our products. There needs to be more awareness about the doors that can be opened. Oh, nigga, oh, this is a goddamn ass. Oh, you that's motherfuckers.
That's a scam. That shit gonna get hacked. Everybody's credit information gonna be out online. They gonna be posting that shit on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, y'all not low. Mm-mm. This is a motherfucking shit.
Fucking with black people. Fucking with black people. Fucking with black people. Fucking with black people.
Yeah, what's the difference between this and me just going on a regular date nap and just realize you got a bad credit score? The fuck is this? I don't get it.
Zero to 100.
Oh, just because of Jakaris, just for the fact that you're talking about credit scores and people's credits are all over the place, and credit does not equal a good person, good relationship. It doesn't even mean you're financially responsible. I don't mean no harm. Like, it doesn't. It's just a score. You could be doing all types of crazy shit and have a good credit score.
I give it a 75 because it's a scam.
Yes, it is.
And it's a scam masquerading as like trying to help black people, which help me get what? Some pussy, nigga? You not helping me fix my... Then just open up a fix the credit goddamn app. What the fuck?
Right.
Why you gotta throw dating into this bitch? This is a goddamn scam and y'all not gonna get me. Fuck out of here. Yeah, they get 75. Fuck. Oh, we just trying to help black people with financial literacy.
Mm-mm.
Well, let's keep it going, guys. Okay, no need to stop being fucked with. Now we're in the segment. Let's keep fucking with black people, all right? I saw this video on Twitter, and we'll see how y'all feel about it. It's from Jamal, a.k.a. Black Southerner, on Twitter, and he paid for the blue check.
1776.
He's wearing a 1776 shirt, Karen, and hat. Not 1619, 1776. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I don't know where he shops at. Make American Great Again Eagle. Confederate Old Navy.
He does go to the Banana Republican.
The racial gap. Or if he, maybe it's Tommy Hill nigga. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Hey, everybody. If we gonna have the Negro National Anthem.
What's going on with your facial hair?
Why does this look like a triangle?
Why is it?
Why so pointy? Triangle.
Where's the mustache? Where's the connecting part to the...
That's a great question.
This shit ain't got no roof.
And it look like the bottom point down like top of an elf's hat. What is happening here?
How you got a roofless beard?
Yeah, that is a great question. A roofless beard.
What is this?
Being played before the Super Bowl and other games? Then we should have the Latino National Anthem played before the games.
Karen, what is the Latino National Anthem?
I have no idea.
Right, because there isn't one. And if you're talking of their country of origin, which, because there's many Latino people from many different countries.
Yes, it is.
My guess is they have those anthems in those countries.
Yes, they do.
And then we should have the Asian National.
Same. See the first comment, switch out Latino for Asian.
Mm-hmm. Anthem before we have a game. And then, yes, I'm going to say it. Oh, no. We should have the white national anthem.
The regular ass song. The fuck is this?
You know what I just realized? The back of his car has stickers on it in places that probably impede driving, but the back of his truck or car has stickers on it, and they're Confederate flags.
I see that too.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Play before the game. Diversity. Or we can cut the crap, and you can tell black folk, cut it. There's only one national anthem, and it starts off, oh, say can we see.
It's all second, you see. You didn't even know the right words. But okay, Karen, what would you give him, 0 to 100?
He gets two scores. He gets Jakaris just for the simple fact that what he said was stupid, and there was absolutely nothing that I learned from this particular conversation that he's having. It was just stupid and it didn't make any sense.
Okay.
And the other score is a 0, because nigga, I actually don't give a fuck about what you have to say, Mr. Confederate Flag 1776.
It's a very, like, I watch Megyn Kelly and I need to be a guest as point of view. You know? Like, it's the kind of thing where you say that and then Megyn Kelly, who also believes that, brings you on a show to pat you on the head and be like, good boy, good boy. Say the racism for me. But yeah, I give it 100. You know, never heard of this man before, but it's clear how he gets down. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It didn't, like, surprise me. As soon as I saw what he had on, I said, I got a feeling what he gonna say.
I was like, this is gonna turn left somewhere.
Beyonce's upcoming act 2, her country music debut, has been met with mixed reactions in country music. Some country stars welcomed her, while others label her music as pop. Mm. Remember that discussion with Drake and Mos Def?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Remember how y'all felt about it? Because y'all don't like Drake. Y'all acted like what Mos Def said was valid. That's about to happen in reverse with them trying to box Beyonce out of country. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be the same way I felt about the Drake shit. Yeah, it's kind of hating.
Yes, it is.
You know?
And not trying to be funny, and it's just me on the outside. I think that they don't want to accept her. Number one is racism. Number two, it's racism with a little bit of, if this bitch comes over here, oh my God, all of a sudden, they shit gonna start dropping in the charts, because I think that they realize how strong the Beehive is, and they was like, if them niggas get over here, they gonna be demanding her shit get played, they gonna be like they're gonna force it to, we're gonna have to deal with her whether we want to or not. We're going to have, they're gonna make us acknowledge her.
Yeah, I agree. So, a person on Twitter said, I requested Texas Hold'em at my local country radio station, KYKC. And after requesting, I received an email from the radio station stating, we do not play Beyonce on KYKC as we are a country music station. And then they added the B Legion, which you don't want that smoke.
Oh, they added them?
Not the radio station, the person that got...
the person was like, hey, dog, like, I did a request and... They ain't playing the shit. We all know it's country. They was like, bet.
Right. So he motherfucking put out the goddamn signal.
and all the bees showed up to the hive.
You're right.
Like, they was getting calls from all across the country to probably demanding that shit. Maybe possibly all across the world demanding that shit.
Right. Once you put up the fucking alert.
Yeah, they're going to have to play that shit whether they want to or not, child. All the pro country stations across the country going to have to put that in rotation, because niggas going to be, yeah.
Corny with that Illuminati mess.
Chad, yeah, they gonna be God. Chad, you gonna have niggas, they gonna have their local FN R&B along with the country playing at the same time. And Chad, they gonna wanna hit once every 10 minutes like y'all do everybody else shit. And if it ain't, they gonna keep calling.
As you can see, they put the whole address, phone number, and fax.
They was not fucking with them. They was like, oh, you had enough to write me a whole ass letter?
We do not play Beyonce as we are country music. Thank you. Score, South Central Oklahoma Radio Enterprises, all the contact information.
I guess they didn't know that this person was serious.
calling a refusal discrimination. He said the station needs to be held accountable for their blatant racism and discrimination against Beyonce. This is absolutely ridiculous and racist. You guys should be ashamed. I grew up listening to your station. Please email the radio station request the song score@scoreradio.net. Of course, the Beehive swarmed the tweet. And listen, I saw the tweet from the Bee Legion, and they were like, be respectful. We not harassing nobody. We not threatening nobody. Mm-mm. But just keep requesting the song. Let them know that we want that Beyonce. So this man Brian Zusk, the AudioMac co-founder, explained the importance of genre labeling on Twitter. It says, Apple changing the genre from pop to country is important. Remember, I told y'all as programmers, we had the ability to do this. Metadata is so important. And he said, for those curious, when a label or distributor delivers a product to DSPs, they must include a primary genre. Some include secondary primary genres and subgenres. For Beyonce's two new song, Columbia was listed as, they listed it as pop as the primary genre with country secondary.
On purpose.
Yeah. But yeah, then the station tweeted out for the first time, like tweeting in years. They used a Twitter account.
They must have got bombarded.
And they said, I saw the tweet. It was like, coming up in the next 3 minutes.
They found that shit. They was like ring 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 ring. They would get, you know, because now everything's online. So I guarantee you, they got all the online posts. They was like, yeah, we got a call. Can y'all play some Beyonce? Okay. Call number 5. Can y'all play some Beyonce? That's what happened when they was like, shit, play it, Bob.
Their Twitter said, now keep in mind what I'm about to read you is what they said, but their Twitter said it's coming up in the next 3 minutes, and they was about to play it. And it was a picture of the playlist. So they clearly played the shit. Mm-hmm. But what they first responded was, we are a small market station. We're not in a position to break an artist or help it that much, so it has to chart a little bit higher for us to add it. But we love Beyonce here. We play her on our other top 40 and adult hit stations, but we're not playing her on country station yet because it just came out. The station also spoke to Fox 25 and told them they received over 2,000 emails and 1,000 calls from the Beehive. Some accused them of racism. The station is not racist. We love Beyonce. Harris characterized the email as a standard response to requests for songs not typically associated with country music. If someone calls and requests the Rolling Stones on the station, our response will be consistent. However, he did clarify the station would be open to playing Beyonce's new songs in the future. Beyonce surprised the world and da da da. But I saw they tweet, and unless it's a fake account, which it could be, it is X, you know, it is Twitter. But that tweet said coming up in the next 3 minutes.
Oh, and I guarantee you they did, because if they didn't, somebody on the Beehive would have said something. Somebody was tuning into that station, if they're in that city, or either live on the internet.
Yeah, it's 100.1 KYC or whatever the fuck.
And film.
Yeah, I'm gonna show y'all what I saw on Twitter.
Your local country radio station.
And it says, lots of calls coming up for Beyonce's Texas Hold'em. It's coming up in minutes. And they circled it on the thing. 2:28:35 p.m. Texas Hold'em Beyonce.
Somebody said, get that shit in rotation, please.
Right. I don't know whatever he said in that statement. Yada, yada, yada. I hear you. What time is the Beyonce playing?
I guarantee you people said, what time? I'm listening.
Right. And they played that shit. So anyway, 0 to 100.
This gets a 100 just for the simple fact that, it was quote unquote mislabeled. So, but I do understand that.
Well, it's not technically mislabeled. He said the metadata says the first one was pop, but there's a secondary label that definitely said it was country. So they could have played it.
Okay.
They just didn't. I don't trust them.
Okay.
I don't know these people. Maybe they tell the truth, but I have a vibe that they were like, they almost insulted, like, stop requesting that. She's not real country.
Yes.
And then sent that snarky little email, like, she's not country, and we play country artists. And then when the shit started heating up online, they was like, oh, coming up at 2:28:35, Beyonce.
Correct. You know, and it's one of those things where this is not the only market. This is going to happen across the country as time goes on, and when it does, and it gets, you know, online and on Facebook and on TikTok, people start spreading the word. People are going to start calling, and they're going to start demanding. And like I said, it's one of those things where a lot of her fans go like, no, we're going to force y'all to play it. And niggas love country music. I don't know why they think country music is only for white people. There's a lot of black people that love country music. Did a like, y'all gonna play this shit, and I'm gonna be sure, because I got my hat on, hee-haw, yeah, y'all better be playing Beyonce every hour on the hour, however y'all do, like y'all do every fucking everybody else. I want to hear that shit.
Yeah, I'm not even getting that deep into because I don't know enough about country music to confidently say much about it and blackness, other than it's probably invented by black people, because everything is in America.
Niggas love everything.
But my main point is, what was the score you giving it?
Oh, I gave it a Jacaris.
Okay. Yeah, I give it a 75. Because they clearly did not want to fucking play this song,
that's,
in my opinion.
That's why I gave it Jacaris.
And I'm not 100% sure how aware they were of the song and all that shit. But my guess is they were made aware by the many requests. And so I give them 75 only because they relented when the pressure was on and didn't try to stick to their guns, no pun intended.
That's true.
And they said, you know what, play the shit and fuck all that shit we said about how we wait weeks for the chart. We know. It's Beyonce. Let's just go ahead and play it because we just look stupid and racist.
Okay, that's valid. So I go to a
I'm not telling you change your score.
No. I'm listening to what you're saying, so that's valid. So I go from a Jacaris to a 100. Okay. I go down 25.
All right. Makes sense to me. All right. Last one. Catalina Foothills instructor Nkechi Diallo lost her job with the school district.
Okay.
She was teaching kids as an after-school instructor.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her job because she got an OnlyFans. Yep. Now, I know what you're thinking. What are we guessing the race? Why is this in the fucking with black people?
Right.
Nkechi Diallo. Do you know that person? You know that name?
Mm-mm. You probably told me.
It is the name that Rachel Dolezal goes by now.
What, nigga?
Yes. Yeah. She changed her name to, you know, the African name. And she has an OnlyFans. I've known about the OnlyFans because it went. People on Twitter have not. They have been posting pictures of her OnlyFans for a minute now. Like, this is not new news to. Maybe I'm just in scumbag Twitter, which is fine.
February 20th.
But it's not new news in that. I know I've seen it before and saw people sharing it and making jokes about it, you know? But for some reason, I guess they just found out there.
Tonight, a Catalina Foothills Unified School District after-school instructor with a controversial past.
You might recognize her name. Rachel Dolezal was under fire in 2014, accused of misidentifying herself as black while serving as the head of the NAACP in Spokane before resigning amid the backlash.
News 4 Tucson's Eric Fink joins us live from the Foothills with more on why Arizona parents might be concerned about her new job. Eric.
Monica, Sean, Rachel Dolezal now goes by the name Nkechi Diallo. She was a prominent civil rights leader and African studies professor in Washington State, accused of pretending to be black for personal gain. Now, I confirmed today that she is now an employee with the Catalina Foothills School District and apparently now has a public social media page where she has linked an OnlyFans page that appears to be operated by her. Now, some explicit photos are being shared on other public websites, including the website Reddit. It is unclear tonight if the photos were shared by her. Now, we want to warn you, we have blurred these images you're about to see because they could be considered explicit and inappropriate for children. Again, we do not know if Diallo posted these photos or if they were placed there by someone else. I sent a text message this evening to a school official regarding the district's policy.
Can I just say the amount of immense appreciation I have her for having a black Santa next to her Christmas tree?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where you found that, but good for you. She's sticking to the bit, okay? She like, it's only black Santas up in here, okay? We don't worship the pagan white devils.
See, unexplicit photos being shared by employees, and I am still waiting to hear back. And early,
why is her in the... The pic is her on the wall.
Yes, it is her on the wall in the background.
I can't believe Rachel Dolezal has done the official OnlyFans rollout as, let me go be a teacher, play the long game, so that one day people will be like, oh my God, we got to fire her. It's an OnlyFans, and now I'm going viral again.
Mm-hmm. Earlier tonight, I was at the regularly scheduled district board meeting where I asked parents about this recent hire. No one feeling comfortable talking about this on camera.
Because they did
tonight
know.
In the foothills. I'm Eric.
Well, they don't want to be racist against a black woman, so you can respect that. You know.
Oh, no.
They don't want to get accused of discrimination.
Reverse racism.
She has sex with white people at OnlyFans. Is that interracial or anyway?
I don't know.
Karen 0 to 100.
This right here. I'm going to give this a 75, only because it was funny, you know, but it's still fucked up what she did. It's still fucked up that, you know, you change your name so that you can kind of float around and people not, you know, identify and recognize you and link you to that. That's the biggest reason why you change your name, so you can kind of function in society.
Yeah, I'll give it, I mean, I think I got to just stick with 100, because she's like the permanent 100.
I can see that.
Like, what she did was so goddamn ridiculous.
It was foul.
On every level. Mm-hmm. And so disrespectful.
Yes.
And I'll never get over the caping that niggas had for her. To this day, I'll never forget it. Because they'll dismiss all the facts and go straight to, like, she was trying to help us out. She was in the NAACP. I mean, y'all mad at her. It's black women that don't even do da-da-da. And it's such a infuriating lie, especially when we know it was some money missing, which has started the whole goddamn thing. So you talking about the NAACP, and the NAACP was like, where the money at? And she was dipping
where
on us.
Where the money at?
And you talking about it's because she helping niggas in Spokane? Who are the black people that were like, man, thank God for Dolezal. Spokane black community was at a loss.
Right.
Like, have we have any follow-ups where it's like, man, the community of Spokane went to shit for black people after she left? Fuck out of here. That's what bothers me the most about her. It's not even her. Mm-mm. It's the goddamn defense. It was just like, just let this woman be wrong. We could have just laughed at it.
Yes, but niggas took it so seriously that it turned into something else. Well, other people had to come out and be like, the bitch ain't black. What the fuck are y'all talking about, niggas?
Tried to make her a hero.
Right.
Tried to make it like it don't matter. Shit
right.
like that.
And use her to try to beat everybody else to death. And you were like, you get the fuck out of my face.
Like, you're mad that Travis Kelce got credit for a haircut, but Rachel Dolezal, everybody need to get the fuck over. I always thought that was such a weird thing to happen.
Right.
But okay. Yep. So we scored that. Let's go to another segment, okay? We got other stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Let's see what I want to do next. Why am I drawing a... Oh, there we go. Let's go to one of Karen's favorite new segments. If I can find it. News. Who knows? We're going to talk about some news, and Karen probably doesn't know who the hell we talking about.
Probably don't.
Slim Jimmy, J-X-M-M-I. Slim Jimmy's child's mother arrested for domestic violence. Allegedly punched him 3 times.
Well, God damn. Snap it to a Slim Jim.
What?
That's what I thought you were going to say. You said Slim. I thought you were going to say Slim Jim. I was like, who the hell is this?
Well, that's the segment. Slim Jimmy of Ray Shrummert. Do you know Ray Shrummert?
I heard that name. That's a rapper.
They're a music group.
Okay.
Drummer's ear spelled backwards. It's the people that made the No Flex Zone.
Yes, that's my jam. I told you, I know a lot of shit, don't know who makes shit.
Well, that's the segment. He's accusing his child's mother of punching him during an argument, resulting in her arrest for domestic violence. The police were called to the rapper's Doral, Florida home last month for domestic disturbance when Slim Jimmy stated that Kiara Danielson hit him. According to police, Slim said the argument stemmed from social media with him asking her to leave, but things escalated. Slim then claimed that Kiara became aggressive after he tossed her belongings outside in the yard, punching him in the face 3 times. However, police say she provided a different account, stating she tried to record Slim with her phone, but he attempted to grab it, leading to a struggle where she scratched his eye. She also claimed he grabbed her during the altercation. Police arrested her as the primary aggressor for domestic violence after not noting a scratch on Slim's eye and no visible injuries on her. She was taken to jail, charged with misdemeanor battery. The altercation follows another heated argument at her Miami apartment the day before, where Slim was recorded removing his belongings from the residence. Kiara's domestic violence arrest comes about 2 years after Slim was arrested for battery, accused of attacking Kiara during another social media-related fight.
Yeah, sounds like they don't need to be together.
Sounds very toxic, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, there you go. And then let's do one more Who News for you.
Okay.
Light-skinned Keisha reveals she got married to Coco Van Gogh shortly before giving birth to her son last month.
None of these, you might as well say anime names. I have no idea who these people is. I heard of Van Gogh and what is happening?
Light-skinned Keisha has become a wife and a mother all in the span of a few weeks. The actress and rapper Coco Van Gogh quietly welcomed her son, Amin, on Sunday, January 14th. The baby boy arrived healthy, as Keisha confirmed during our exclusive chat with People. She also gave the outlet the first photographs of Amin in their first family photos. My pregnancy went smoothly, thanks to my husband's support for an easy, stress-free experience. It went by quickly, and now he's here live and direct, she revealed. Referring to Van Gogh as her husband was another shocker for fans, who had no clue Keisha and the influencer had tied the knot. While Keisha didn't give any details about her ceremony, the 29-year-old confirmed that the wedding took place shortly before Amin was born. Yeah, that's one of those, you know, blur the face out Instagram rules where people be having, they be whole ass married, but, you know, they got to be single for the image of what they're doing on social media and stuff. The transition in the family life has been smooth because we were already like family. Being together for so long, having a child with a cherry on top. I sometimes get emotional looking at him, crying tears of joy. He's everything I pray for. I feel truly blessed to have this little person in my life now. Van Gogh also boasted about his son, who is his second child and Keisha's first. Initially, the couple were told they were having a baby girl. However, they learned that they were actually having a boy, which Van Gogh believes is no mistake. It's like God continuing the legacy. My dad's name was Amin. Mine is too. And now baby three is the third. Feeling happy and blessed he's here. Their announcement comes a day after Keisha shared a photo on Instagram and asked fans what they believed her son, when they believed her son would be born. Clearly, she was trolling her social media followers. Congratulations to the beautiful family.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
Yeah, good for light-skinned Keisha and Coco Van Gogh. Mm-hmm. Okay,
I heard your whole conversation. I still don't know what they do for a living.
That sounds like a Pootie Tang. Well, light skinned Keisha, a rapper.
Oh, okay.
And Coco Van Gogh, I don't know what he do. They say influencer. They're very adorable couple, though. They look beautiful.
Yes, they are.
And congratulations and good luck.
Good luck to you all. And People Magazine, they somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They somebody. Well, that's it for Who News. 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 All right, that is it for Who News.
You be educating me, so I'm glad for that.
Well, you won't remember it, so is it really an education?
I don't be retaining shit. Mm-mm.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't call it educating. In one ear, out the other.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's do some Guess the Race so we can wrap this bad boy up. Hopefully, y'all been having a good time. We're gonna.
I hope so.
Bring this plane, this DEI plane, to landing soon.
What time is it?
It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race. It's time to guess the race.
All right, let's get into it. A woman wrongly declared dead for over 15 years, still fighting to prove her existence. I'm blocked. A Missouri woman is fighting to prove she's alive.
Holy shit.
Wrongfully declared dead over 15 years ago.
Did they give a funeral service and everything? What is happening here?
When she was in college, Madeline Michelle Carthen had been anticipating taking part in Western University's International Intern Exchange Program in the summer 2007. She was never able to attend or even graduate after she was denied financial aid when her Social Security numbers listed her as deceased. She says the issue actually began in November 2006, but she didn't become aware until the school let her know 4 months later. She says CNN got involved after her story gained media attention in 2007. With their help, she learned that the Social Security Administration in Washington, D.C., that their records were in a deceased warehouse. Unknowingly, her name had been added to the Death Master file, an internal database that collects records of dead people who have Social Security numbers.
Oh, no!
Once someone is added to the DMF, the IRS, banks, and Medicare cancel their existence. Their investigation found that up to 12,000 Americans are wrongfully marked as dead by the government each year.
Damn.
Yeah.
Imagine go doing something and everything be like, you don't exist.
Did you say 2-1 or 3-1? Oh, it don't matter. SSA spokesperson Darren Lutz told People in a statement that while they are unable to discuss individual cases due to privacy laws, they've contacted her directly to assist with her case. They added that nearly 3 million deaths are reported to the SSA each year and that their records are highly accurate. He noted that that of the millions of deaths reported that we receive each year, less than 1/3 of 1% are subsequently corrected. SSA Regional Communications Director John Powell did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Over the years, she has contacted 4 U.S. presidents, only getting a response from former President Donald Trump and other government officials. She filed a lawsuit in 2019, but it was dismissed after the government said it had sovereign immunity. The 52-year-old, who has been unable to vote or maintain a steady job for an extended period of time.
Right, because people run her shit and they were like, you don't exist.
Then changed her name in 2021 and received a new Social Security number. But despite each step, she faced setbacks. I'm in Missouri, but I'm back and forth between here and Tennessee. I had to give up my home. I don't have a place to stay. I can't get a mortgage.
Wow.
In addition to the fact that her court-ordered new name is misspelled in some government databases, you should have picked Bob Smith. The wrong Social Security number.
I would have. You look at Chad, my name going to be as simple as it comes.
If I'm starting over, John Smith. Bob, okay? But, it's even listed on her E-Verify, which is what employers use to confirm employees' eligibility to work. I can get a job, but I can't keep a job, she says.
Damn. Is it once they run credit checks?
Yeah, how does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, they must run it. You know how they...
Because she could also be making this an excuse. She could be a fuck-up at work, and then she makes it act like it's about her Social Security number because ain't nobody going to look into it. We just like, oh, that's fucked up. They fired you again. It's like, yep, my Social Security number. I'm like, oh, okay, they must have ran it after you got the job already or something. How'd that work? Meanwhile, she's shitting in the desk.
You know, they ask you your previous name. They be like, your other name, you dead.
Mm-hmm. Her 29-year-old son, Kenneth, has also been impacted. Carthen says he's been having issues going back to college since he can't sign his federal student aid application.
Because they force parents to give their information, right? Because I know some people complained about that because they was like, well, I'm not going to qualify for any financial aid anyway. They were like, do the package. And, you know, it's like, well, if I do the package, y'all, it's going to be a shit show and I'm not going to get no money.
So she doesn't have a valid Social Security number, so she can't sign, but she remains hopeful that whenever her case gets cleared up, she can finally obtain adequate employment. And though she has medical problems, an unfortunate aspect of her nearly 20-year ordeal is that she's been able to receive disability benefits, much to her surprise. Oh, okay. I guess that's the one good part. She says, I'm dealing with aortic valve regurgitation and atrial fibrillation, and I'm in stage 3 kidney renal failure. How is it that I can go through these things and they classify me as dead and I'm not, but I'm on disability? Everything has been stripped from me, she says. I'm blocked. Karen Kesterice.
What was her name?
Her name is Madeline Michelle Carthen. I'm sorry, Carthen.
White.
All right, Karen saying white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe.
That's horrific. That's a long time to be classified as dead.
I would be using that shit, though. Like, if I got a credit card and they call me, they'd be like, we need to collect. I'd be like, oh, I'm dead. Yeah, you can check. Look it up. I can't pay you back. I don't even know why y'all gave me that credit card. What they doing it wrong. They must be white. Weekend at Bernice's white. White, white, white. She was able to speak to the manager and the president white. White with good credit, even in death. Ghost white. Trump white. The correct answer is, and everyone said white. Everyone, you got it. Incorrect. You missed it. She's black.
Wow. Wow, that good generic white name.
Yeah. Yep. She is black. That's her right there.
Po thang.
Mm-hmm. I would have missed it, too. Because, well, you did miss it, but I would have missed it too. Because when they said Donald Trump responded to her and no one else did, I was like, oh, she got to be white.
Right.
But he probably was going to help her out and then try to act like he helped us all out.
Mm-hmm.
I do so much for the blacks. I'm unbelievable. I'm the greatest president for the blacks ever. I help one person get their credit right, and the blacks owe me.
of course, forever.
All right, let's go to the next one. Fernandina Beach City manager resigns amid backlash over alleged drunk biking incident.
Drunk biking, okay.
Mm-hmm. Ty Ross resigned effective immediately on Friday, only 2 months after beginning his role as city manager.
Well, damn.
Yeah, grand opening, grand closing.
You didn't get enough for the insurance to kick in. You got to be there 90 days for that.
Right. The Fernandina Beach city manager has resigned. The city posted on social media saying Ty Ross resigned effective immediately. City Commission appointed the man on your screen, the deputy city manager, Charles George, as interim manager. Ty Ross resigned 2 months after being accused of drunkenly crashing his bicycle. You're taking a look at body camera video of that incident. This happened on October 29th.
All right, Karen. Guess the race of Ty Ross.
Ty Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going white. Biking drunk?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Someone said, Trump brought me back from the dead.
That's hilarious.
He would have said that shit, too. He was like, I bring him back from the dead. Obama couldn't do it. No one can do it but me. The first president, not even Jesus. The people are telling me not even Jesus.
That sounds some shit he say.
I'm white. I've been known to be UI white, bike under the influence. White, white, black, black. Ty like that. Beanie baby guy white. Black. Ty sounds black. Biker boy black. Correct answer is white. Many of you missed it, though. And I'll try to replay the video so y'all can see the part that, because the guy on this picture here is the replacement manager.
Mm.
So that's not Ty. But they have the footage of Ty when he got pulled over. bike. He's just like, he was definitely heavily under the influence, because it's no reason for the crime scene to look like the way it looked. Let me see if I can. Yeah, this is Ty on the side with his bike. Like, it's a bike, but he's laying down on the side like it is a, like he crashed a, like he rolled his car. Like he rolled his car in a ditch, but he just sitting there with his bike. Like, just waiting on the cops. Like, how drunk was he? There's bystanders there, by the way. Like,
oh, because somebody probably watched him crash.
Yeah, they must have been, man, stop trying to ride the bike. You're going to die, man.
You can't do this.
Just trust me. He's like, well, I'm the city manager. God damn it. They're like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Police on their way, baby. It's going to be all right.
But that's what the that old woman behind him said.
I know, baby. I know. You can ride a bike, okay? Mm-hmm. It's as easy as riding a bike. I know.
I know. You ain't got no pads on. You're scratching yourself up.
Bonus round.
It's time to guess the race.
Let's see. Woman 28 busted for battering her mother with grits.
Oh!
I know. Wasn't it Al Green?
Wasting food.
I just want people to have love and happiness.
I hope they wouldn't season and all good and shit and you wasting them.
As long as there's no sugar in them. The female victim, 64, was covered in grits when officers arrived. The argument over kitchen usage turned violent Monday afternoon when Jaquila Mobley, 28, grabbed some of the grits being cooked by her mother and hit her in the face with the porridge.
Ooh.
Not the face with hot grits. The victim, Ella Johnson, told Florida cops that Mobley had been drinking and using drugs, and that when she does this, she becomes aggressive towards her. Johnson added that she did not want to contact police since the matter was juvenile at its core. Well, I guess the grits wasn't too hot yet. They must have just got started. A sheriff deputy who responded to the residents noted and observed dried grits on the side of the victim's face, as well as matching grits on the kitchen counter and in a nearby dustpan.
Matching grits, ain't they all gonna be white?
Well, I'm guessing they're saying like this on the same pot of grits.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yes, yes. I'm with you now.
Like some of them on your face, some of them on the counter, and some of them you tried to sweep up before we got here. Right. Mobley was arrested on battery, a misdemeanor, booked into the Marion County Jail, where she is held in lieu of $2,500 bond. Mobley, who told police she had been sleeping on the streets, has multiple battery arrests but does not have any convictions. Guess the race of Jaquila Mobley.
Oh, black.
Karen's going with oh, black. Let's check the chat room. Is that like an Irish black? You mean Irish oh, black? Like O'Grady? All right, let's check the chat room. Grit ball black. Al Green descendant that was, oh, that shit, black, on that shit. Okay. Recently watched Diary of a Mad Black Woman, black, because hot grits are traditional black communication tool, black. Althea Green, grit ball, black, like burnt grits. The correct answer is black. And that's her, you know. I like that color hair, you know.
Mm-hmm, but she does look like she'll do it again.
She definitely look like she throw grits, mm-hmm. You know. I don't know how to explain it. No word if it was sugar or salt and pepper, but we all know savory is the way to go. And that people that don't are worship the devil. That's just what it is. A lot of people don't know that. I met Kev on stage one time at his show, his mm-hmm. comedy show here. And we had a meet and greet, mm-hmm. and I mean, I hate to blow up his business like this, but you know me, my babies, I have to live in honesty, truth, and integrity.
Oh, Lord, what's wrong with you?
And so backstage, I saw him. He was reading a science book. He's not a Christian. he was eating sugar grits and reading a science book. Now, he won't admit it, but go ask him, okay? I want y'all on the internet, my babies, my sweet babies, go look up the footage. In the background of his TV show, Churchy. Go look it up. Okay?
Go see what be happening behind the scenes.
Okay. And he won't respond to me even though I reached out. Like he won't do business with me. But I want you to know this is not a call out. This is a call up, Kevin. Okay, my sweet baby.
What's wrong with you?
All right. We love you. Okay. And I love that brother because he's a good brother. I love us for real. I just want you to do what's right and tell everybody that you really secretly worship science and you're an atheist and that you know that putting sugar in your grits is wrong. And if he do that and put me in two episodes of Churchy, then it's all one under the bridge.
That's the stipulation.
All I'm asking for is a writing credit because I got to do this for all black people. If I don't get a writing credit, it's basically black people mm-hmm. didn't get a writing credit. Mm-hmm. And I don't play like that. So, Kevin, do the right thing. Okay? We are all watching you, my sweet baby. Oh, what is this?
I don't know.
Sorry, something started out of line. But yeah, we are all watching you, my sweet baby. Okay. Florida man wanted after allegedly using the... Oh, wait. Did I play the sword ratcheting sound?
I know.
I did not.
Okay.
Sorry. I had to tell the truth about Kevin. Because I live with transparent, radical honesty. Okay. And I put everybody else's business out there.
Mm-mm.
Especially if they do me wrong. Okay.
I'm putting sugar in their grits.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't know. We were on his wife, Melissa's podcast. We were on Melissa's podcast talking about our relationship.
We were.
Kevin wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
Okay, now why wouldn't Kevin be there if nothing's up, y'all? He didn't want me to expose his atheism because he knew I had seen him reading the science book. I saw him reading that science book.
A regular ass science book.
He was trying to hide it behind his back when we came over there. Just saying, y'all.
Don't be ashamed.
Kev on stage is a fraud, and he's not really down with black people. That's why he put sugar grits, and he eat pumpkin pie, too. I got to tell the whole story. I got to tell the whole story.
You
got to
tell the whole truth.
I got to tell. I gotta
what the hell is wrong with you?
I got to tell all his business, or we not telling the truth. Okay, I just want people to be honest now. Come on, Kevin. Do the right thing and write me a check.
You can't keep a straight face.
Do the right thing and put me on, okay? Or I'm going to continue to be, I'm going to do this.
Roger can't even keep a straight face,
I go
y'all.
On Club Shay Shay. Show him that textbook. Florida police are searching for a homeless man. Karen is so concerned for her. She is like, oh, what if people think these jokes are serious? Zero people think these jokes are serious, Karen.
I know.
I can feel the uncomfortableness. He was like, oh, he's not really an atheist.
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you, this the same way you did Appiah, okay? Kevin will be okay. He's a comedian. He makes jokes himself. Appiah will be okay. She's white. She got white privilege. It'll be fine.
it'll bounce off of both of them.
Mm-hmm. Florida police are searching for a homeless man who allegedly stabbed his friend multiple times with a samurai sword on Monday while refusing to hand over an Xbox gaming console.
Oh, shit.
Fox 35.
The home console? Or did it come? Was it a game in it?
This is why Xbox won the war. I know PlayStation sold more consoles, but they not getting stabbed over them.
They sure is not.
I mean, kill a nigga over your console if you want to win the console war.
That's when I know it's real.
When the PlayStation murder stopping it happening.
What set you claim, fool?
I wanted to say starting and happening and ended up with stopping, which is the exact opposite of both of those words. Stopping. Anyway. In a report obtained by the station, police said officers responded to an apartment where they found a man bleeding near the front door. Police said the victim was alert and conscious. He was bleeding moderately from the left side of his face and shoulder. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. While the man was moved to a nearby parking lot for treatment, he told police that Walter Grimes, who he is known for about 2 years, stabbed him with a sword. Yeah. Walter
Related
Grimes. Guess his race.
White.
Karen says white. The correct answer is black. That's Walter Grimes right there.
Oh!
Yeah, Grimes, who recently became homeless, was upset due to having to walk with his belongings. Just before 9 p.m. on Monday, the two men were sitting on the couch when the victim asked Grimes if he was going to give him his Xbox. I wonder, he just recently became homeless and was walking with his belongings. I wonder if he got kicked out by his girl or something.
Appearance, something.
Yeah, because it sounded like he was pretty mad. Did they say his age?
Look young.
He looked young.
Look really young.
He reportedly told the man no before allegedly grabbing a samurai sword located inside the apartment and stabbing the victim 2 times in the face, 1 time each in the shoulder and knuckle. So 4 times he stabbed him. The victim told police Grimes never said anything threatening towards him during the altercation. Afterwards, Grimes fled the apartment in an unknown direction. I guess he took the Xbox though. Neighbors told police they heard, how are you going to play it? You don't have power. You stabbing people?
Right.
Now you in jail. They're not going to let you hook it up.
Right. No, I don't think that's how that works.
It's an evidence collection or something.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors told police they heard screaming from inside the apartment. And when they went to see what happened, the victim said, Walter stabbed me while pointing at the sword. They found a samurai sword as well as the blood covering the entrance of the apartment and carpet. The victim was transported to the hospital, treated for 2 3-inch lacerations, which are non-life-threatening. Grimes was previously arrested for battery and mischief in 2020.
Oh, no, not mischief.
I wouldn't let him in my house with a sword. Mm-mm. I'll tell you that much. But that's just me, guys. I don't want to judge. All right, y'all. That's it for this episode. Don't forget, Kev on Stage is an atheist that loves sugar grits. And he's a fraud. And
he's by ritual.
I'm not mad at him, okay? I'm just telling my truth. So just don't. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not upset that he got a TV show.
You 10 toes down, okay? On it.
I don't
see.
Care that he's doing a podcast tour. Well, here's the thing. I don't care about any of that stuff. So don't act like I'm jealous of him. Okay? That's not what this is about. Honesty and integrity and uplifting our people. And he's I love that brother. And especially love him if he write me a check. And then I'll stop talking about him. I even act like we're cool.
That's how that works.
That's how it works. All right. All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.